On Wednesday evenings, we've been taking a look at the grape and things related and pertaining to the grape. But tonight, we're going to take a look, child of God, wait on the Lord. Child of God, wait on the Lord. I always pray that the Lord will help me with what to feed you, what to bring to you, what to preach to you and teach to the church membership and those that visit with us. I seek the Lord's face. I know that you pray for me, and I appreciate that very much. And as the time to preach, sometimes just real solid on what to bring. Other times, even during the day that I would have an opportunity to preach, the Lord will, I'll seek the Lord's face regarding it, and He'll impress me with such. And that's the way it is. That's the way it needs to be. In this conference at Wauseon, when the brother contacted me and asked me what to preach, I don't tell you this to brag on me. I just tell you this to brag on the Lord. It's the Lord that we're subject to, and we need to be in tune to. We need to be connected to, and we need to hear from. And so that's my desire. That's what I know that in our Lord is where the power is, where the effectiveness is, where the effectualness is. It's His word. It's His work. You are the sheep of His pasture. I am too. And we need to hear from our Lord. And that's what I desire, to be an instrument in the Lord's hands for my part of that, how the Lord would use me. When the Lord, Brother Randy called about the conference in Wauseon, with that one, I knew exactly what I was going to preach just within a day or so. It's just, that's the way the Lord works sometimes. Sometimes you just don't know till you get right up there against it. Well, with this has been on my heart for the last couple days, and the Lord brought it to bear today. And I think it's most appropriate for us now in the situation, the events in our country and in the world, that we might know what the Lord says to us about waiting on Him. And we're speaking to the Lord's children tonight. Wait on the Lord. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We've been going through the Psalms on Sunday morning, looking for our Lord Jesus Christ and mention about Him, prophecy about Him and such. Brother Bobby's been reading in the devotions from Psalm, the book of Psalms, and it's been a blessing indeed. And it seems like that the Lord has brought that to us and is using that unto us, and I'm thankful for it. But here in verse number 14 of Psalm 27, the scripture says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. A Psalm of David. We'll come back to this in a moment. But this about waiting and all these occurrences, all these passages tonight that I'll mention in the Old Testament, all are one and the same word. And this word wait, I find this interesting. It comes from the root word and how language works and such in the Hebrew. The root of this word wait means to bind together. I find that very interesting. Well, Brother Jim, what would waiting have to do with binding together? Well, I think it very much does so, and I pray that the Lord will help us to see that. To bind together is the root, and perhaps by twisting. You think about a rope. A rope is twisted together, is interwoven and twisted together that there might be strength there. To wait, you and I, in the English language, when we think about wait, we think about we're burning time, waiting. Your parents said, go upstairs to your room and wait on me. That was bad news, right? And so we have to wait on things, wait for a delivery, wait on this, wait on that, wait on the other. That's an aspect of it. But this, what it's taken from is talking about this binding and such. Patience is indeed involved. The biblical word tarry that we don't use is another synonym for it, to tarry. And so to wait, but this binding together, let's not lose sight of that. To wait is indeed like patience, but more. There's more there in waiting. We think we understand about patience, and we need to understand about it from the biblical perspective, a continual, cheerful, continuance and endurance. That when you speak about patience from the biblical sense, that's what it's talking about, a cheerful continuance and endurance. That's in the New Testament. That's what you see from the word patience. Not just gritting it out, but going along with joy in the Lord, resting in the Lord and such as that. An element of patience is to wait. An element of patience is to be long-suffering, as we've seen recently in the fruit of the Spirit. To wait is like patience, but more. And also in waiting, there is obedience. It's kind of like that word hearken. It means to hear and then to obey and do. Okay? And so obedience, there is obedience in waiting. And in obedience and in waiting, there is action. Is there not? There's action in that. There's waiting. It's not like we use the word wait in the English language and in our culture. There's action in waiting from the biblical standpoint. I think we'll see that. There is following of the instruction that we have been given in waiting. Following of instruction. We've been given instruction as the children of God. There is the use and application of the Lord's wisdom. He's promised that he will give wisdom liberally to those that ask him. He's promised that. And so in waiting, there is the following of the instruction, the using of the wisdom that is the Lord's. In waiting, there is no fear. But then we have problems with that. It's just being human. Our old man has problems with fear. And so when we do fear, we go to him with it, right? That's waiting. That's a part of waiting, is correctly dealing with fear. And in waiting, there's also this of looking for our Lord's leadership. I think we'll see that in waiting. It is like patience, but more. It is obedient. There's obedience in it. There's action in it. There's following the instruction that we've been given. There is using his wisdom. There's no fear in it. But when we do, in waiting, we need to take it to him and go to him with that. And there is looking for his leadership. A couple passages and points to consider in this. The Lord gave those to me just as we were beginning the services. What did the Lord tell the disciples, the apostles, in John 15:15? He said, I'll summarize, you're my friends, and because you're my friends, not my servants, I've told you everything that the Father has told me. So if Jesus knew it, he told it to them. Now, granted, they had problems with perception, didn't they? They didn't understand about the Lord's fulfilling of his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. But he told them everything that there was. It says in that passage, he told them all things. Okay? But then in Mark chapter 13, verse number 32, about the returning and the coming to pass of end time events and the returning of the Son of Man, what did he say? He says the angels don't know. No man knows the time. Not even the Son of Man knows the time. So you know what we have to do? We have to wait. So there's instruction in waiting. There's wisdom that we are to exercise that the Lord gives us in waiting. There's obedience and action in waiting. There's service and all of that. And so the Lord makes, and like in Matthew 24:46, he speaks about the master of the house, the householder, such as that, all kinds of different parables. But in this, in Matthew 24:46, he says, blessed is that servant, the one watching and looking and waiting, obedient in what the Lord has told him to do. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So he's not just... Is this not the waiting is not just sitting down and camping out. It's kind of like this. Waiting is do what you know to do. Do it. And what do you do when you don't know what to do? Do what you know to do. And then take the Lord take it the rest to the Lord. Turn over here to Psalm 25. Let's read this psalm. And a couple points scattered in here that I think will help us with this as the psalmist, the Lord gives us here in this Psalm 25. Listen to the words of Brother David. He's a saved man. He's a child of God. And listen to what he says. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. So this is what seeking the Lord looks like, sounds like. Taking it to the Lord. He doesn't want to be ashamed or confounded or confused. He looks to the Lord for that help. He trusts in the Lord, but he asks the Lord to help him. And then in this particular about his enemies, an inward fear of being overcome by enemies. Well, a realistic understanding that enemies could overcome him. And so what's he do? He takes it to the Lord. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. And again, that word ashamed is talking about to blush, to be embarrassed for trusting in the deliverance and the deliverance not come. Okay, that's a thing in David's day that was there. To be confounded by the way of the world and the wicked. To not have an answer when an answer needs to be given of the truth of the Lord. That's the reason we need to be students of the Scripture, students of the Word of God. He says, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yet let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Let them be ashamed. Show me thy ways. Well, hadn't he been shown enough of the Lord's ways already? I mean, he was miraculously made king. But he needs it for today and for tomorrow too, doesn't he? He does. Show me thy ways, O Lord, the way you work, the way you want it, the way you want it in my life. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. I think implied indeed that Brother David wants to follow those paths. He wants to go that way. Lead me in thy truth. That leading in the truth of the Lord. And teach me. I want more instruction than I've received. For thou art the God of my salvation. You've saved me. On thee do I wait all the day. Does it mean sit down in a seat and wait for God to utter words from heaven or for the thunder to roll or for the bright light to shine? No, he waits on the Lord. He's doing what he knows to do. And as we see very common with David in the Scripture, when he's confronted with a situation, he takes it to the Lord. Shall I overtake the troop? Should we go today? Should we go this way? And the Lord tells him, yes, no, yes, no. He does that kind of thing. We see that in the Scriptures with him. On thee do I wait all the day. David declares his day is always in mind of the Lord. What does the Lord want? What does the Lord say? What would glorify the Lord? Remember, O Lord, verse 6, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember those and bestow them upon me and mine, Father. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. David is a saved man when he writes this. But he declares, and of course, his understanding, we sit here at a very advantageous point, knowing the full counsel and working of God in regards to salvation, the coming of the Savior. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Father, I have sowed some things. In your mercy, would you bless that I not have to reap them? That's not a bad prayer. The Lord is merciful to those that seek mercy and his help. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. That your goodness, your mercy would be multiplied. Do so on me, Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Good and upright. He will teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. Wait on the Lord. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Knowledge of his word. Mercy and truth unto such. And we need that. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such that keep his covenant and his testimonies. Verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. The child of God knows that he has sinned against the Lord, and we need the ongoing forgiveness of the Lord. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach the way that he shall choose. The one that fears the Lord and waiting on him. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. He waits on the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. When things are unknown and uncertain, as really all of life is, we wait on the Lord. We're to wait on him. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Verse 15, he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. He at the time of this writing, he's got some problems. And what's he doing? Is he just seething about them? Grinding them over in his mind and in his heart. I mean, no, David would be subject to do the same thing that you and I are subject to do. But here, the example is in waiting on the Lord. He turns unto the Lord and brings it to him. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted, Lord. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Interesting there, the troubles of my heart. We can have physical troubles, but I tell you what, physical troubles are there and they're real, of course, and we experience them. But physical troubles and troubles of the heart, how do you think they balance out? I tell you what, I think we are subject in our culture, in our day, with the blessing and the goodness that we have and the ease that we've been blessed with in our land, that we got troubles of the heart often. And they're the ones that get us down and then affect us physically. True? It's true. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. See, one brother said it years and years ago. There are no super Christians. Know that up front. There are no super Christians. There's no call to be a super Christian. There's a call to be the child of God and to stand and to obey and to follow and to wait on the Lord. And to be open and honest before the Lord. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, verse 18, and forgive all my sins. We confess our sins before the Lord. Waiting on the Lord will be confessing our sins unto him. Consider mine enemies. Look at them, Lord, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, they're vehement towards me. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Waiting in the Lord. Resting in him. What we know to do and what's before us to do with the instruction, the orders, the wisdom, let us do it. For the things that are unknown unto us, let us wait on our Lord. Let us bring them to the Lord. Let us wait on our Lord. He's able. He is able. Oh, keep my soul, verse 20, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Character, godly character in the Lord and of the Lord, for I wait on thee. Godly character, integrity and uprightness. I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm doing what I've got before me to do, what you've instructed me about, the wisdom that you've given me, always seeking your face about what's at hand in particular and the things unknown, the future, tomorrow. I'm waiting on you. Waiting on you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. That's David's context. You know, you and I, we're not Israelis. We understand why David would say so, and we understand the connection to Brother Jacob, who is Israel and the nation and the tribes and all that, the Lord's nation and people and that. But you and I here, even today, we can say that about the United States. If the United States is going to be saved, going to be helped, it's only going to be by the Lord. We need to make it a point to pray for our nation, for forgiveness. We need to pray for our nation and our region and our community for the salvation of souls. For mercy, indeed, that we do not deserve, but that the Lord would be merciful for his namesake. Wait on him. Wait on him. Because he do what we have to do and wait on him. Then we come to Psalm 27, where our text is there at the last verse. And let's just read this and see the content of this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Amen. Whom shall I fear? He's my light. That's how we see. He's shown the light, hadn't he? He has rescued us. Whom shall I fear? Our Lord has given the answer and taken care of the blessing and the answer of eternity for us. Can anybody take us from his hand? Can anybody separate us or anything separate us from the love of God? No, cannot. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and indeed he is. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. David was a fighter. He was a warrior. The Lord called him a man of blood, a bloody man. And because of that, he wasn't able to, his fighting against the enemies of Israel made it so that it wasn't appropriate before the Lord for him to be a builder of the temple. That's the reason that Solomon was called to do so. You know what David did? He did what he should do as king, and then you know what he did? He gathered up the stuff. I mean, he did all he could. And Brother David over and over and over declares again, I want to be in your house. I want to be in your house. I want to be in your house. He was king. I want to be in your house. And his enemies, his foes wanted to kill him, torture him, destroy him. And he said, because of you, Lord, they stumble and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Hear me, Lord. He's asking the Lord to hear. And he is declaring, he is crying unto the Lord with his tongue, with his voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, which is what the Lord has said, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I'll do so. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. That's prophetic about the Lord Jesus too, isn't it? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He waited on the Lord. He rested in the Lord's promises. He took his petition unto the Lord. He knew he walked every day and every moment before the Lord, seeking the blessing and the help of the Lord, petitioning the Lord for his failure and his lack and his need. And all this, this praising of the Lord, this looking to the Lord, this pleading the Lord for the help that he needs, for the praising the Lord for his goodness. What's he say at the end? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Like we talked about here some weeks ago. That's really where it's happening at, isn't it? When the fiery dart of the wicked come, it doesn't hit us in the shoulder or in the arm or the leg, does it? When the wiles of the devil come, it doesn't physically hit us in the belly or in the side of the head or whatever. We deal with it individually in our hearts. And what will we do? Will we obey the Lord? Or will we follow after the way of the world and the flesh and the carnal way? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's other passages in the scriptures that we could take a look at. I just want to read a few of them here to you. We don't have the time tonight. But I want you to just consider these. Psalm 37:34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Psalm 69:6, let not them that wait on thee, O God, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Proverbs 20:22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, vengeance, get back, but wait on the Lord, he shall save thee. Wait on the Lord. Hosea, there towards the end of the book, therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. You know, there's a couple examples that the Lord brought to heart and mind and in the scriptures. No doubt, I trust that you're familiar with them. Remember Simeon at the things that they came and the dedication of the Lord at the temple after he had been born. It was some weeks, and for Mary's purification that they'd come to the temple and that. And Simeon is there. Listen to what it says in Luke 2:25. You remember that Simeon had been revealed to him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ, the salvation of Israel. Luke 2:25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout. So that took some action, didn't it? He was doing. He was obeying. He was seeking the Lord's face. He had been told what he had been told, as the scripture reveals. What's it say? The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He'd been told what he'd been told. He'd been given what's said in the law for them to do. He was called to the ministry that he was called to there in the temple. He was busy about all those things. And he was waiting on the Lord to do what he had promised that he would do next. Not in a fuss or a fret about it. Not stomping his foot because it wasn't happening sooner. But waiting on the Lord. Waiting on what the Lord would do. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. There was another brother at the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's hanging there on the cross. The Roman soldiers care nothing about it. They'll take the body out of the way when it gets in their way. The Jews had petitioned that they not let them hang there on the cross, on the tree, because of the preparation for the Sabbath coming on and all that. And what's it say about our brother there in Luke 23:51? The same had not consented to the council indeed of them, talking about the Sanhedrin and the religious leadership of the day. He was of Arimathea, speaking of Joseph, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. He had what the Lord had given him. He indeed was obedient because he hadn't consented to what they wanted to do to the Lord Jesus Christ, put him to death and treat him the way that they had treated him. He didn't show up. He didn't show up there that night at the mock trial. And he's the one that went to Pilate and begged for the Lord Jesus' body. Don't throw him in the ditch. Let me have him to bury him. And he took him and he buried him in his own tomb. You know what he's doing? He's waiting for the Lord to do what's next. He was faithful in what he'd been given. No doubt there was much he did not understand. But he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ should not be, his body should not be dealt with in an improper way. And he, at cost, great cost to him politically with his own people, and then coming at the dead body and profaning himself that way. I mean, there was that in the law about that and what needed to be done for purification and such as that, right up against the high day of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He followed what the Lord wanted him to do. He went and got Jesus' body down from the cross. He waited on the Lord, didn't he? That's what the scripture says. Oh, in conclusion, child of God, wait on the Lord. And again, as the brother says, the scripture says, I say, wait on the Lord. Do what he has instructed us. Pray and petition him for our need. Feed on his word. He speaks to us through his word. And wait on him for his leadership, for his move, for his next step, for his work. Do what we've been given to do and wait on the Lord. Wait is not sit down on the seat to do nothing. But do what we've been given to do. We got a fear, take it to him. We got an unknown uncertainty, take it to him. We've got our sins, repent of them and take them to him. We've got fear, it'll crop up. Take it to him and wait on him. The Lord has known what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, and he will know what he will do. And I'm not saying in that sense that he will find out. He knows. Remember, he knows the beginning from the end. We need to wait on him. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And remember that. Wait on him, and he will strengthen our heart. Be of good courage in him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, there's a passage here, and it's speaking about, we'll just turn over there if you would. Let's just touch this real quick. And it's connected with this. Remember, the coming chapter is that honor roll of faith. And the writer speaks here about the vengeance of the Lord and the judgment of the Lord's people. And he calls them to remember how it was when the Lord saved them in their service and work for the Lord. And you know, it very well may be that the book of Hebrews was written. It's a possibility that it was written in a time at that scattering of the church, where they would say, what's going on? Or remember. Remember what the Lord has done for us and what he's called into us. That's a possibility. And so he speaks about the compassion that they had on him and his bonds. And then he tells them in verse 35 to not cast away their confidence. Listen to verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, wait on the Lord. That's what waiting on the Lord is doing what he's given us to do. Doing his will as he's instructed us, as he's given us wisdom, as he's left us here to be a pillar and ground of the truth. We have need of patience. And after that, you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. His next step. What he's going to do. How he's going to deliver. How he's going to rescue. How he's going to help. How he's going to give great grace for things physically alarming to us. It may be difficult for the flesh, but glorifying in the end to him. Wait on the Lord. That's the instruction to us here in this day. To you that are here and not saved, this message and these words are written unto the children of God to wait upon the Lord. We've seen aspects and facets of it tonight. But you know what is commanded unto those who are not saved? Well, Acts chapter 2, verse number 21 says, and the prophecy regarding, or from Brother Joel, and that the Lord gives him and is reiterated there, and it shall come to pass, speaking of judgment, speaking of the changing of this world and the Lord bringing these things to an end, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the unsaved are called to call unto the Lord. Not to wait, but to call. There's been a mix-up in things. I heard an account of a young girl that was in need for her soul. She was troubled about her soul in need of salvation and desire to be saved. And she was told, wait. You know what the scripture says? There's no biblical prospect or aspect to tell a woman to wait on anything. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says to sinners. There's some things that have been muddled up. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Understand, this has nothing to do with any incantation or anything. Miracle words that are said. Calling upon the Lord, there's not a prayer to repeat. But there is an interaction between the sinner going to God for their need because the Lord has shined the light of the truth. Don't wait on the Lord. The Lord says, call. He says, call. And we are responsible for what we tell folks. And I was saddened by that account. And listen, here's a passage that is abused very often, and some steer away from it. But let's read it together here tonight. Romans 10. Let's read this and hear what it says. Hear what the scripture says. You're here and you're not saved. Listen to what the Lord says. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that is that they might be saved. And that's our desire for the unsaved too. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, meaning there needs to be some knowledge. There needs to be some understanding of the truth. The truth needs to be declared. And by God's help, we look to do that. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Don't try to muster up your own righteousness. As the song that we sing says, don't even try to look to make yourself fit to come to the Lord. You can't make yourself fit. What's he say? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ Jesus is the end. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Look to the law for salvation. Listen, because you're a sinner, you had. Forget it. It won't work. Wrong purpose for the law, not salvation, but to show that you're guilty. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. In summary, say not in your heart, what can I do? How can I make the Lord do something or bring Christ to me? It's not by anything that a sinner can work. Don't say in your heart about that. It will not work. You're not going to make a way to heaven. John 3, the Lord makes it very clear. No man has ascended up to heaven. But the Son of Man that came down from heaven, which is in heaven, he's the one that's made the way, and he's the Savior. But what saith it? What saith what? The word of faith. Okay, the righteousness which is of faith there in verse 6. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. No difference. God is no respecter of persons, no matter nationality, ethnicity, where you're from, what you've got, color of your skin. It just doesn't matter. Human beings, the human race. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Not wait, but call. Lord, I got a problem. And you've made it clear I've got a problem. And I need your help. I need your salvation. How does a man even know that? How does a woman even know that? A boy or girl even know that? Because God has declared it in his word. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Call because of believing. And how shall they believe on him who they've not heard? Believing because they've heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? The preacher preaches the word. The witness declares the word that might be heard, that it might be believed, that they might call, that this is real, this is serious, this is their need. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Who sent them in the first place? The Lord. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, and that is true, isn't it? The light's shone. And what Jesus tell Nicodemus and tell us? But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We love our sin. That's the way we are. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I read to you in closing, finally, in 1 Corinthians 1, 21 through 24. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of God's word. That reference to the foolishness of it is not that it's a foolish thing or that it's a spectacle or a carnival or that. Maybe it would be a specter in some the way some people would look on it. But it's perceived foolishness. Listen to what it says. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Child of God, wait on the Lord. Sinner, call upon the Lord. Seek Him while He may be found. Hear and believe what He says in His Word. Receive Christ for who He is and the need that you have. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him. And may we as children, may we wait on Him. May we wait on our Lord indeed.